the OTB Podcast Network.
On this Friday morning, we're joined on the line by the still La Rochelle head coach, Ronan O'Gara. Good morning to you.
Hi, Adrian. How's it going?
Good. A three-year contract, I presume a family decision. I presume a poll was taken. Is that the way this thing works?
Yeah, it was. I think that is most definitely top of the agenda, especially the kids getting older and some of them hitting secondary school level. So it's never easy. It's the most difficult part. And in my career, I think, in the fact that what impact my decision makes on the family. And it's huge, Adrian, in that regard, because you don't know whether you're doing the right thing and you still don't know. And it's something that eats away at you quite a bit, all right? So I think you remember what secondary school you went to. I remember what secondary school I went to. It's good days of your life, and it's important days. And my twins would be going into first year in September. So, you know, there's decisions with that, quite big decisions. But I think at the minute, it's okay where we are.
Yeah. Does that mean that over the, and like, look, I'm asking you to project in a way that maybe you haven't given it much thought to, but given your career choice, that over the next 10, 20 years, particularly in those as your youngest gets to 18, let's say, in sort of college going age, are you going to seek that bit of stability almost, that like it's difficult to uproot your kids, the friends are made, they have their routines? Is that something that you'll, it's not that it necessarily needs to be La Rochelle, obviously, over that period of time, but you're less likely to move around almost?
Well, yes, your logic suggests that, but I've been doing the opposite, haven't I? I left in 2013 for 1 year to have a look, and then I'm still on the road. But I love being on the road too, and the fact that it just doesn't feel long, it feels very exciting, and it feels very interesting. But then that's me, and that's selfish me. But you got to kind of obviously consider what's best for your family as well. So that's why it was easy for me to stay in La Rochelle, and the fact that I think there's huge ambition in the project here, and there's not a new school for the kids. So that was ultimately what it came down to.
Mm. What's the difference between a head coach and a, what is it, head of team performance?
I suppose you kind of, you got to combine the pitch with the overall vision. That essentially what it looks like to me, Adrian, and the fact that you'll be all over, I suppose, everything that feeds into La Rochelle performing. So there's an awful lot of, I suppose, hidden work that goes into the first team, and there's an awful lot of, I suppose, work that's visible to everyone. So it's about just, I suppose you'd be the ultimate decision maker is probably the best way of looking at it.
Is there less coaching in that?
I hope not, and there won't be in my role, no, because that's what I love doing. And yeah, I think that's very important, because I think having watched some people, it can be the first area where you may find yourself devoting more time to meetings. But for me, I have to prioritize the pitch sessions, and that's what I love. I enjoy that side of the game, and I think that's very important, that I'd be on the pitch at all stages, at all times, and all over everything of the rugby content. That's very, very important.
Ronan, you probably suspected that something like this was coming, given how good the season has been going. But at the same time, once the contract does get signed, is there a bit of a fist pump? Is it a moment of quiet happiness when that happens?
No, not really, honestly, because I think, Owen, what I've been aware of is that, you know, titles are one thing, but, you know, once you're part of a staff or part of an organisation, if you create the right organisation, the right staff, everyone should feel valued and respected and have a forum to voice their opinion. And you know, I think that's very important, I suppose, in my style of leadership, is the fact that, you know, I mean, it's not the building that has good ideas, it's the people within the building. So you got to surround yourself with good people. And we're at its at our starting point in that regard, and you'd be looking to strengthen that area, and you'd be looking to get the best out of people, and that's very important. You know what I mean? There's nearly two, I suppose, games going on within the game, and the fact you have a staff and you have a playing group. The playing group, it's probably easy enough to manage, but the staff, it becomes tricky because the older people get sometimes, the more contrary they become, and you have to manage that, and you have to see where their ambition is, and you have to see what their vision is, and you have to respect that also, but you need to keep bringing it back to what's best for the team. So with that, I suppose there's also a time where other people may have been suppressed in previous regimes, or they may not have felt valued. So you have to find, I suppose, a starting point on, and then work through it, and then see what their vision is, and then hopefully it combines with yours. Other, if not, it'll be tricky.
So do you have to take a different tact to being a coach as you are to dealing with staff in the hierarchy of the club, for example?
Yeah, you would most definitely. It's very different. It's like nearly a different job in that regard, because you obviously have the tactics and you have the managing of players, but then you have to, the players get inspired by the staff. So we need good staff. There are certainly good people here at the minute, but you can always add to it, and you can always, I suppose, challenge them to make sure that they're getting the best out of themselves as well.
Is that structure something that's important to your own, and that you're able to make those key decisions around staff or contracts or that sort of thing? Is that something that's important to you?
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be, because that's us concentrating on us, in the fact that if we are to control and get the best out of ourselves with the staff we have and with the playing group we have, that's one bit. But you got to remember that all the other clubs in Europe are trying to do the exact same thing, and then they're coming with their game plan against you. So if we're not united, settled, driven, how do we expect to perform? So we got to make sure that we have an omnigram that performs, and that people are happy contributing to. That is very, very important. I think especially in France, they like probably having their roles and responsibilities defined in front of other people, and then they feel accountable.
Mm. Is that something that's fairly new to you? Obviously, you would have fed into the process, I'm sure, and you'd have been on the end of your own contract negotiations as a player. But is that something that's relatively new to you then, on that side, where you're the one sitting there going, we are giving you a new contract because, or we're not, or we're giving you less money, or whatever the case might be? Are
they? No, it's not that new. No, I think I think why it's great with technology nowadays, and the fact, obviously, there's a human side and you have to be able to deliver a message. But sometimes by delivering images through, a highlights reel, or through, a video where the player is able to see for himself, well, that's how I'm performing. So I have a brilliant, outstanding case of being retained, or I'm actually not in that great a position. Because if you just say it to them without the images are far more powerful than words nowadays. So I think that they, unless they're in complete denial, they're able to have a frank, honest conversation with you.
Mm. And will you look to, I know you're saying that obviously you want to sort of continue to do as much coaching as you can. Have you given thought or look to bring in any other coaches, or are you thinking that way yet? I'm going to take that as a yes. Expect an announcement in the next 24 hours. That's what I'm taking that as.
You're some beauty, isn't it? You just tip away gently for 7 minutes, 8 minutes, plod away. Yes. It will be a yes, whether that comes from within the Espoir environment or whether that comes from outside. The good thing about the CEO and the president here, Adrian, is the fact that the rugby decisions will be mine as long as they're in line with the values of the club. So they want to continue to improve and they want to get better, but we got to do it respecting what La Rochelle have always done in the past, is kind of trying to promote from within, but also you mean trying to be one of the, well, from now on, one of the top teams in France and in Europe.
Yeah. And so how much attention are you paying then when you say about the Espoir or indeed at other clubs to, you know, the Felix Jones of these worlds who are coming through? And his situation was slightly different in that he obviously got injured and had to leave early. But it seemed like from the people who played with him that all the indications were there that was something he was very capable of in terms of that coaching role. How much attention are you paying to that with the group that you have or beyond with that in mind?
Oh, you pay attention to every injury. It's once you're stuck in it, it's kind of very easy to see.
Mm.
So, you mean the idea is obviously that you're always trying to get better day by day, and you're always open to suggestions and open to learning. But like, there's the kind of reality with current contract situations that have been done in the past, as opposed to where you want to bring it to. So it's not like you have a blank sheet and you can do exactly what you want. You have to work within some restrictions, but if you get your planning right and if you get your contracting right, then you have a good chance.
Could I ask you about Darren Sweetnam, Ronan? Because he's obviously had the ability now to go away and, I guess, broaden his horizons, even though he needed to go away and get more rugby. In a way, obviously, you stayed in Ireland throughout your entire playing career because you were at the very top of the pecking order. When you're not at the top of the pecking order, you have that ability to go away and broaden your horizons, I'd imagine. I presume it's one little positive of perhaps not being the first name on the team sheet as a young Irish player.
For Darren, is it?
For Darren and in general, for that sort of player who's in that position about whether or not they stay or go.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And I think you're right, because it's with an asterisk, it's a very different decision for every different player, because no player's situation is the same. And because Ireland's playing pool is so small, every decision has to be taken differently. You know, you look at, in Darren's case, he was, probably thriving under Razzy Erasmus and playing well. And then, you know, I mean, for whatever reason, through injury or lack of form, didn't hit the ground running under the next regime. And then, you know, he's not been contracted for next season. So I think when you know a guy has played for Ireland under Joe Schmidt, he obviously is a quality player. That's undeniable. So from my point of view, it was a case of, yeah, we've a lot of injuries in the back three, so get him over. But it doesn't need to be that case. I think for the guys that are on the fringes or outside the top 30 in the provinces, which is only four provinces, remember, that's only 120 players. You know, beneath that to probably 250, there are players that are late developers or for whatever reason overlooked. And it's difficult for them to get an opportunity. And that seems to be the case everywhere now, in the fact that it's hard to get into squads.
Mm. One last one for me on the staying put end of things. It struck me last night, just thinking about the chat this morning, on that the clubs you've been at, whether it was Munster, particularly in the latter years, Racing, Crusaders, like, they're all elite clubs with massive expectations. You mentioned the ambitions of the club there a few minutes ago. Has it surprised you how quickly you've been, I mean, I don't know if underdog is quite the right terminology, but certainly they don't have the history of some of those clubs I've mentioned. Has it surprised you how quickly you've been able to adapt to that slightly different dynamic?
Yeah, it has surprised me. Yeah, no doubt. But I, the good thing I'm continuously, I suppose, striving to understand is we don't know our limit. So you can't put a limit on sports people, because you don't know where it's going to get to. So if you're kind of putting, the ultimate goal to win the Champions Cup or the top 14, I don't think that's a good idea. Mm. I just think you try and unlock your potential. And deep inside all of us, we don't know where that is, and everyone's limit is very different. And you multiply that by different people from different cultures, all genetically different human beings. In our case, in La Rochelle, it becomes so exciting, because you've Fijians and you've South Africans and you've French people and you've New Zealanders and you've Georgians and you have every kind of different culture, but you mix that together and it can become quite potent if you set up the environment right. And it's not fully right, there's no point saying it is, but it becomes very exciting Adrian, when you're driving that. And the reality is La Rochelle were second division clubs 6 years ago, so there would be a weak backbone there, there's no doubt about that. But in the current group, you're trying to just get the fortitude mentally to a level where we can hold. And Leinster will be coming at us hard, but we need to be able to take that and respond, because it will be a huge challenge. Because when they're 14-0 down to Exeter away from home, you're thinking Exeter have this, but Leinster won comfortably in the end. So for our guys not to get spooked, and that's the beauty of the game, and it's very, very exciting, and it's not daunting. It's something that you want to test yourself against.
That point on not setting limits for players is interesting. Like, I always remember Jim McGuinness saying that they were completely obsessed with winning the All-Ireland in 2012, and it was that's the thing that drove them, that specific goal. From what you're saying, though, rugby is just a different beast when you've got people coming from all over the world, and the top 14 wouldn't matter, say, from your childhood as much as, say, an All-Ireland would in Donegal, and it has to be different.
Yeah.
Is it down to that? Is it as simple as that?
It's as you say, it's where we are now, and the Buccleuch and the Champions Cup is very fashionable. But as you said, like, a lot of these guys grew up, I suppose, dreaming of playing for their country. Mm. But now they're here, diversity becomes a very, very powerful tool, because once we know what we're playing for and why we're playing, then we have a chance, because we have some really good players. But the key is to trying to unite these players and get them believing in a shared identity and a shared goal. And the goal doesn't have to be silverware. The goal can be actually, I want to be as best as I can be, or I want to unlock my potential. I want to show these guys I can play. But then all of a sudden, if you win something, what happens next? So people struggle with that. So that was the great thing about the Crusaders, was it was just trying to build a dynasty and keep this thing rolling and be inspired about being as best you can. And that's, I think, when you live that once in a group, with a group that care for each other, becomes very powerful.
You have to go, but briefly, will you have a fit 10 for Sunday week?
Well, not this morning, but I'm hoping Sunday week we will, yes.
One of your men too?
Very much up in the air.
Right.
Very much up in the air. So two very different injuries, one lower body, one upper body. So, that happens at this stage of the season too. Everyone is having niggles and knocks, but these are substantial injuries, maybe not substantial, but they're injuries that, you need to be right if you're trying to take the pitch.
You're not giving too much away. You're holding a very tight brief for us this morning, Ronan, between that and this new coach that we're all waiting for.
You've had your porridge. Well done.
Enjoy the day.
See ya. Cheers.
Thanks, Ronan. Cheers.
Thank you.
Ronan O'Gara on the line there from La Rochelle. Exciting, really exciting times ahead. Like, it is an incredible part of the world. His family is obviously very well settled there. You're like knee deep in a new culture, not just from a French point of view, but like, as we've been discussing there with him, obviously from a rugby point of view, from himself as well. Like, he's obviously learning so much on the job and driving it on in a fairly significant way for anybody that's been paying any attention to not just how eloquently he talks off the pitch, but how brilliantly they're doing on it. This is one of the true rising stars of the world game, on.
Yeah, absolutely. It is brilliant for him. And like, as you said there, it was a big family decision, and there's no need to break something that's going really good for him on a professional level as well. And I guess the new role is going to be exciting as well, whoever those new coaches are that come in and work with him. And trying to get that sense of things as well is going to be important, because rugby has changed a lot in terms of the coach's role and what the head coach does, what the director of rugby does, and getting experience and getting the knowledge and actually working in all those different levels is going to be something that's going to stand him in good stead. But another thing is, at least the clamour around when is Ronan O'Gara coming home just quietens down for a few years now. Like, yeah, that's the thing. I think everybody will just come to a stage of acceptance that this is where it is, and let the people at home get on with their job as well.
Yeah, it'll bubble up again is the thing, right? Probably, like, he's got a 3-year contract, it'll bubble up again in 2 years. It might bubble up before that if Munster are struggling a little bit, and it is just such an exciting time. And even if things don't go La Rochelle's way, Sunday week, or you know that they're not competing as well as they have done this season, next season for the Heineken Cup or in the top 14, like that shouldn't take away from like the bank of experience and nous that this guy's building up in France. And we're all obviously thinking very selfishly with a view to trying to bring that home at some point or another. He's probably not thinking like that at all at the minute. He's thinking, I've got a great career here. There's nothing more I need at the minute, and we'll see what happens down the track. And we will, and no doubt, I'm sure we will see him at this side of the water very soon. Plenty of thoughts coming in for Ronan. We'll bring you some of those in just a little bit. But it is 3 minutes past eight on this Friday morning. You're watching OTB AM. We have loads coming your way. Mark Lawrenson in just a little bit with a crappy quiz coming as well. Packed show still to come here. We're going to hear from Alan Quinlan in just a little bit as well. We're going to be talking football with Mark as well. But we're back after these with Friday Sports Pages.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.